I can go on and on because you just got a real cool vibe, man. Yeah, we can talk and chill. We should like get coffee or something.
Yeah, we should, man. Absolutely.
We're in your house, we're in your car, we are wherever you are, playing you the rest of the best in gospel music.
Hi, my name is Apostle Burl Howard, and guess what? You're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Ernest Pugh, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio. Keep it locked right here.
Soul Prosper Radio.
There you go.
Stay with me.
This is Ronan Harrison.
I'm Kirk Whalen.
Hey, this is Cheryl Pepsi Riley.
I am Tashina Arnold.
And together we are chosen.
Jay Digger. This is Ed Fred Hammond.
This is Sherry Shepherd.
Hey, this is Percy Beatty, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
Dorinda Clark Cole, the Rose of Gospel, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio. Y'all keep it locked.
My name is Michelle Williams. I love hanging out with Soul Prosper Radio.
This is Kim Burrell, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
Got a real cool vibe, man.
Oh,
Hey everybody, welcome back to On The Record. I'm your gracious host, Fred Willis, and I am thrilled today with the privilege of speaking with Mr. Alan Elliott. He is the mastermind behind the release of the nationally available, in theaters everywhere, Amazing Grace by Aretha Franklin. It features the top-selling album, gospel album of all time, and it's now realized and actualized on film 47 years later. It's in theaters. You need to go check it out wherever you are. In the meantime, I'm going to be talking with the person behind bringing this gem to us. Welcome to the show, Mr. Elliott.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Again, I said it's a pleasure of mine to be speaking with you. Just as we kick this off, I want to hear your thoughts on seeing this album, seeing this film now, 47 years later, just seeing it as fully released, fully prepared digitally, audio has been digitally restored and all of that. Just explain or just share your thoughts rather of seeing this masterpiece, this gem now available.
Well, for those of us old enough, Fred, you're probably not old enough, but for those of us who grew up with this record and had it playing in their house from the age of 7 or 8 years old on, it's the premier document of popular music that's ever been filmed. And the ability to sort of bring sight to the blind,
yes,
which is what this is remarkable blessing that, if you had told me this was how I was going to spend 10 or 12 years of my life, I wouldn't have believed it, but here we are, and this is the journey that I've accepted, and I'm thankful that I got to take.
Absolutely, and I'm thankful as well. That was a quintessential gospel album. I grew up listening to gospel music, and hearing her work with Reverend James Cleveland, the late Reverend James Cleveland, there was the songs on that album. Those were songs of my childhood. I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, and so we heard these songs on the radio, and it just, like you said, giving sight to the blind, just being able to see in real time how they recorded those songs means so much to me. And you've been working on this film since 1990, and with the passing of Aretha Franklin last year, was there anything that just kind of sped up the project or just kind of gave you guys the go ahead to just say, okay, it's time? What brought this project, the release of it, about?
Well, Aretha, time reveals things in its own way.
Yeah.
And I made the movie and was always hopeful that we would have Aretha's blessing, and never quite understood why she didn't want it around or what it was. And then at a certain point, her niece, Sabrina, who's the producer on the movie, about 3 years ago, when Aretha and I were going through our little trials and tribulations, she said, well, Aretha has pancreatic cancer. Mm. And, I had made this movie, and the last song in the movie is the first song Aretha ever sang on record, which is Never Grow Old.
Yeah.
And, when you think you're just making a movie, then you're just making a movie. But when you realize that it's someone's life and, it takes on all that sort of different resonance, which is, it's more of a eulogy than it is for her, possibly. And so in the RESPCT of the whole thing, because I didn't start to make the movie to poke a finger in the eye of Aretha Franklin. It was always to, honor her and have her, blessing on these things.
Yeah.
But when I knew that she had pancreatic cancer, I knew that we were in for a different thing. And so Sabrina and I huddled together and just decided, well, we'll wait. And when she either has that moment where she says she wants it, or after she's passed, then we'll revisit it. And that's what we ended up doing.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's a lot to take in there. Just kind of, you know, you had to also bear the burden of knowing that she was ill before the world did.
Yes.
Wow. What was that like? You had been working on it at that time, 26 years. What was that like, just getting news like that? I know that would kind of floor you and kind of obviously give you a different perspective of a project like this.
Yeah, I mean, it just sort of it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because it takes on a whole different level of meaning and understanding, and you know, I mean, my family and I had to sacrifice to make the movie.
Yeah.
So that had its own energy, but then when you're dealing with someone of the importance of Aretha Franklin and trying to be respectful of that, then it takes on a different magnitude. So it all became a test of faith, a faith of trust and you know, empathy and forgiveness. It became like what the movie is, which is, it became its own little church service for our family.
Wow. I love that so much. I'm just thankful to you know, be able to hear this directly from you. And bringing this together, every time anyone spoke about this film that hadn't seen the light of day, we heard names like Jerry yeah. Wexler, Sidney Pollack, and now yourself. Just take me to, I guess, and through the process of working with this work of art that's connected to names that everybody knows. And now you are also in that group and in the park.
Well, I'm honored to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dealing with you know, people who are giants in their field, and so there's a great deal of responsibility.
Yes.
and you know, respect, again, back to that word, that you have to have for the material, for the artistry, and for the vision of the people who were involved in the movie and the recording all over the place. It's just, you know, it's like all of a sudden you're looking at a basketball floor and there's LeBron James, Michael Jordan, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, and you're like, oh, well, I guess we better play ball. So it makes you step up your game a lot, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But I'm a believer that I wasn't put here by accident. I always feel that the movie is much more a miracle than it is an accident, and so in that there becomes a responsibility, and I was not chosen lightly to do this job.
I love it. I love it so much. So take me to your life before Amazing Grace, before you encountered this film. What work were you doing then? What projects were you a part of?
You know, I have been very blessed to be a part of many different record companies. I worked at Warner Brothers Records and Atlantic Records and DreamWorks Records and Motown Records. And,
wow.
And I produced records and was a staff producer and had my own record label. That was when there was a healthy record business. It hasn't been healthy for a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my life. And in terms of the blessings that come and change your life sometimes, my wife was pregnant with our first child when I rediscovered Amazing Grace.
Wow.
And she's now getting ready to go to middle school. So, you know, it all of these things go in their own mysterious ways. I also got to be a film and television composer and songwriter. So I've had a great life as a creative entity, and now we get to go make more movies. So you know, that seems to be the next stage of my career.
Oh, wow. I love it. I love it. I love it. And we mentioned Sidney Pollack, Jerry Wexler, and yourself also producing on this project, in addition to Sabrina Franklin, is Spike Lee. Spike Lee was a part of this. How did he get involved with this project?
Well, one day I was sitting around the house and somebody called me and said, "This is Spike Lee." And I said, "Well, that's terrific to meet you." And he said, "I loved your movie."
Wow.
And I said, "Well, that's great." And he said, "How can I help?" And I said, "Well, we'd love to have you as a part of the team." And he was very gracious and said, I would love to be a part of it." So we kicked a chair over for him, and he got himself up to the table, and that was really nice of him.
Wow, that is amazing. And so you were no stranger to Aretha Franklin's music. Had you been in black church services before? Were you familiar with black gospel music before this project?
Oh, yes. I mean, I grew up, I'll throw you a curveball here. So, there's a television show called The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
And that is based on my family.
Really?
And so I grew up in, you know, what was the black part of Los Angeles in the early 1970s. And often when I see the movie, I recognize it because it is what I grew up in. And, this is part of the journey also right here.
All right, I'm hanging out with Mr. Alan Elliott today, producer of Aretha Franklin's Amazing Grace film, now available. You can see it in theaters. You can order it and view it at home. Whatever you do, make sure that you experience this film. 47 years in the making, it's now available. We're going to hear some more music, and then we'll be back with Mr. Elliott. We opened the show with music from Joseph Robinson and the Chosen Aggregation, their arrangement of How I Got Over, directly from that Amazing Grace album. And we're going to hear from James Cleveland and Aretha Franklin from that album with Precious Lord. It contains an interpolation of Carole King's You've Got a Friend. I love it. I love what they did there. And I love, again, that this film has now seen the light of day. We've been waiting a long time. So many people longer than I have. As Mr. Elliott points out. Yes. We'll be back after some music and a few messages from some of my friends that helped me make this possible. So in the meantime, enjoy this. This is Aretha Franklin and Reverend James Cleveland with Precious Lord.
When you're down in trouble, you need some love and care. Ain't nothing going your darkest hour.
Is your New Year, New Me resolution already sidelined because of the same old debt and financial stress? Are you 100% sure that you're going to have a great retirement? Or do you have doubt? What if I told you there's a way to get out of debt in 9 years or less, including your mortgage, without spending any more money than you're already spending? For answers to questions like these, call Keith Squalls. With integrity, expertise, and the promise to protect your privacy, Keith Squalls and the K. Allen Financial Group want to get you out of debt and into the financial freedom your dreams are made of. Call today, 877-888-6322. That's 877-888-6322.
This is Keith Squalls at K. Allen Financial Group. Call me at 877-888-6322. 877-888-6322.
All right, as promised, that was Aretha Franklin and Reverend James Cleveland with Precious Lord, or as titled on the album, You Have a Friend. I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me so far, talking with Mr. Alan Elliott, producer of Amazing Grace. 47 years later, we now have it on film. We have it at our disposal, at our fingertips, for our eyes to behold. It's a sight for sore eyes, certainly. And I'm having such a great time talking with Mr. Elliott. I am ready to present the rest of this interview to you. I want to thank you again so much for hanging out with me. And without further ado, let's talk with Mr. Elliott some more. I'm reading it now. So obviously you are familiar with, you know, Reverend Cleveland and the Caravans and all the choirs and groups that he worked with. I do want to ask you this, because as I watched the film, there was something that just stuck out to me. And there was something that is often overlooked about Reverend Cleveland, is that he's such an accomplished musician. You know, he's fabulous songwriter and all of those things, but he was such a great musician. To hear actually watch him play, that was really refreshing. You know, of course, he's paired with the likes of, you know, the late great Cornell Dupree, the famous lick from Respect. He's actually from Fort Worth, where I'm from, where I am right now. So I always take time, you know, to obviously shout him out. Bernard Purdy was in that band. The James Brown, you know, the great shuffle drummer, you know, everybody knows him for that. Those of us musicians, and I forget the bass player's name.
Chuck Rainey.
That's right. So it's such a great band, such a great assemblage of musicians. Pancho, I think Sanchez was playing as well.
Pancho Morales.
There we go. Great musicians on there. I want to ask you this, as you watch this film, you watch this great choir, Alexander Hamilton directing, what, as you watch this film, just watching it, you know, of course, is obviously different from listening to it. Was there anything that you discovered for the first time, or was there anything that just blew you away, that separated the film from the recording?
Yes. And it's a great question. I mean, the reality is watching it always is a different experience than listening to it. And the record was much more a recording. And Aretha took the recordings that they made, and she took them back to New York, and she re-recorded some vocals.
Okay.
And she put some different instruments on them.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see in the movie is raw, and that's it. There's nothing else. And so that's different. It, you know, that has a different energy, and I believe it's, for me, it's much more fun, because there's just no second thought to it. It's everybody in the room, and you can see everybody responding to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that is just magic for me. And seeing the band and the choir come together as one big unit,
mm-hmm.
to back Aretha is something when I first saw it that it was really overwhelming, and it still is. There are times where the movie takes you to a place that you might not have expected.
Yeah.
And you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there.
Wow. And you had to cut the film down from 3.5 hours to 87 minutes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So take me through the painstaking process of, you know, doing that and having to obviously cut footage.
I mean, it's the nature of the beast, which is, you know, when you first make your first edit, I think anybody that makes their first edit of a movie feels they've made the definitive version of it,
mm-hmm.
no matter how long it is. and then you can watch it with your friends, and they will, you know, give you a little nudge in the ribs and say, you know, we can't sit here for 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
And and then you have to start to make some hard decisions. And,
yeah.
you know, they are hard decisions. My favorite song on the album, God Will Take Care of You, is not in the movie.
Yeah.
And that was hard to pull out, but we couldn't make it work inside the movie. And the movie became its own entity, as opposed to being able to go, like, if you're making a record, well, make it as long as people can turn it off whenever they want. But a movie, you have to sit there and pay attention to, and so that has a different discipline.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and often, for instance, on Mary Don't You Weep, there wasn't a whole lot of coverage from the cameras. The cameras ran out of film.
Oh, wow.
So we had to adjust to those kind of realities. And and you make do with what you got.
Yeah. Wow. So with you, you know, having such an affinity for God Will Take Care of You on the recorded album, having to cut that from this final project, you know, obviously you said it didn't work. How hard did you try to make that work? Because I can imagine you wanted us to see that and experience what you felt in that. So take me through the process of having to cut your favorite song from the film.
Well, here's where it got hard, because it was from night one. And there were better filmed moments
mm-hmm.
than there were in God Will Take Care of You. And we had a couple of other, you know, when you make a movie, you have to really be dedicated to what's available to you, not what you hope is available to you.
Ah, okay.
And for instance, you know, in What a Friend We Have in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
there's a great moment where a woman is tape recording the show. And as we watch it, we're sort of transfixed by her. And then she looks at the camera and we look at her, and we have this moment where we realize it's okay to be in the church. And that was one of the main reasons I loved that song so much.
Mm-hmm.
That is in a similar tempo, to God Will Take Care of You.
Mm-hmm.
And Precious Memories,
yes,
which is in there. And Precious Memories has an incredible duet.
Yes.
With the two of them.
Yes.
And so you see, like, where you have to make, you know, you have enough room for two, but not three.
Oh, okay.
So you have, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, which is a terrific and a little bit more up-tempo than God Will Take Care of You. And God
mm-hmm.
Will Take Care of You is in a similar tempo to Precious Memories. And Precious Memories has some really great, great back and forth between Aretha and James Cleveland
mm-hmm.
that we couldn't lose.
Yeah.
So these things become like a DJ mixtape. You have to figure out how you're going to keep everybody on the dance floor.
Yeah.
For 90 minutes.
Right.
And then at a certain point, you have to go, well, we're going to have to get rid of this.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, let me tell you something. I absolutely love, you know, the finished product of it, and listening to this song, because I've said has been such a part of my life, and an integral part of my life. It's left an indelible mark on my life as a musician, as a church kid. You know, these are songs that we sing, and it's in our blood. You know, when we go to church, we sing these arrangements. on so many ways. These are the arrangements that we sing. This is what we look forward to when somebody sings these songs. Just a quintessential work, and just to finally have it, it's indescribable. It really is. It's indescribable to finally have access to it. These songs mean so much to us. And so I'm really grateful. You know, I'm grateful as a fan, as an Aretha Franklin fan, a James Cleveland fan, a gospel music fan, a believer, to have this opportunity, you know, in my lifetime to see it and experience it. I know a lot of hard work went into it. I'm reading, you know, the credits, and so many people contributed to this, you know, even in the thanks. Reverend William Barber II, a lot of people know him with the, you know, the Poor People's Campaign, you know, revitalizing Dr. King's work. You know, Arif Mardin. Go ahead. You're naming some more people. Tell me about these other.
Well, Reverend Barber, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people. Reverend Barber is a hero of mine and, you know, my minister. And, I'm, you know, his involvement, and we always talk about what would Aretha do.
Yeah.
And she asked Reverend Barber to speak at her last revival.
Wow.
And obviously she was part of you know, the original Poor People's Campaign in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure that we were doing right by Aretha,
mm-hmm.
You know, and her wishes and her legacy. And so we've been very proud and blessed to have Reverend Barber as our partner wherever we've gone. And, you know, the meaning of the Poor People's Campaign is, you know, unfortunately, it is not a follow-up to Dr. King's work. It's a follow-through.
Yeah.
Because 50 years later, we're still in a similar position,
mm-hmm.
where this work needs to be done. So I'm very honored to have him and to be able to help his cause as much as he's come and been a part of our lives too.
Wow, that is wonderful. My last question to you, and I want to thank you so much for your time today. My last question to you, as we watch this film, people of all ages, you know, it happens when anyone passes away, their body of work, their entire catalog is under review, and they, you know, obviously get new fans and new listeners. What do you aspire for those of us who watch this film, no matter the age, whether or not they know Aretha Franklin before this film, whether they know her gospel work, the soul work? What do you aspire for us to gain from watching this film? How do you anticipate that it will affect us having watched it?
You know, I think that's a good question. I mean, it's a different thing because Aretha is so powerful,
mm-hmm.
and the choir is so powerful,
yes.
and Reverend Cleveland so powerful, and the band is so powerful that when people will say to me, well, you know, casual people will say, oh, I don't know what that is. Okay. I'll tell you what, sit down and watch 15 minutes. And if you can get to 15 minutes, I know you're going to get through the rest of it. Oh, no, well, you know, I don't watch the whole movie. I'll watch what I can.
Mm-hmm.
The music and the power of, you know, what it is overtakes us.
Yeah.
And you can't help yourself. I've watched the movie 1,000 times.
Wow.
I you know, usually you'll see a director and they go to a screening and they'll say, hey, thanks for coming, nice to see you, and then I'll see you after the movie. And then they go out for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go to see that movie, I go into the theater and I have a different experience. And it's unlike whatever I've had prior, because it's a church service. What people don't see is that you are really get to go to church in that theater and have your moment of introspection and reflection for whatever reason. And it's more powerful than anything I intended to make.
Wow.
It's just that I love the record so much that I knew that if we could just get a bit of it, we'd be okay. But we got more of it than I had ever thought we would get.
Wow. That is incredible. 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 Again, thank you so much for your hard work, your decades of work. They're paying such great dividends for you. I'm so excited for you and the team, the family, and everybody. I've seen it. I'm going to see it again. When it comes to my area, I'm going to see it in theaters. And again, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being with you.
In this great choir that took me all the way back to the living room at home when she was 6 and 7 years of age. I saw you crying and I saw you responding, but I was just about to bust wide open. You're talking about being moved. Not only because Aretha is my daughter, Aretha is just a stone singer. Reverend James Cleveland knows about those days. When James came to prepare our choir for a gospel broadcast which is still in existence. And he and Aretha used to go in the living room and spend hours in there singing different songs. She's influenced greatly by James. If you want to know the truth, she has never left the church.
It's SP Radio.